summer I spent some time in Nicaragua in the municipality of Quetzalcoatl doing a health survey and hygiene project. So a little bit about the background of this project. It all started with the Brookline Sister City, and for those of you who don't know, Brookline is a small city right next to Boston. It's pretty much just considered a neighborhood of Boston. There was a woman named can't remember her name right now, but she lived in Quetzalcoatl. She did the Peace Corps down there in the mid-80s, and she decided to start up the Brookline Sister City when she returned back to Boston. They are involved in a lot of projects, including they built a library in 2003, which has made a significant impact in the community. And the Brookline Sister City was a huge impact on our project because they were the ones that kind of helped us build our connections. They had our host families down there, and they really helped us out, introducing us to key people. In 2006, last summer, a group of students from Boston University went down to do their practicum down there, and they did a basic health and demographic survey throughout the municipality. And because of their work, they were granted, through the APHA and Colgate-Palmolive, a grant to go down and do a project which involved a study of the effects of a hygiene project in Quetzalcoatl. And due to all of this work in the area, there are a lot of future projects right now that they're trying to start up. The most significant, I think, is the renal insufficiency project, which kind of came out of the data from the survey that the girls did last year. They noticed that there was a lot of renal insufficiency problems down there. So a little bit about Quetzalcoatl. It's in the Department of León. It has a population of about 10,000 people. There's a lot of colonial influence in the area because it was settled by the Spanish. 2,000 people live in the urban area of Quetzalcoatl, which if you have been to Latin America, to the poor part of Latin America, the urban area isn't what we would think of as urban. It's basically consisted of a park with a church and one block of paved roads and two bars and one store. But the majority of the population lives in the rural area. There are 20 comarcas, which are what they use for communities or villages, and they range in population and poverty levels. Something that's really important about Quetzalcoatl is that it has a very large Sandinista influence, and in that recent history, they are very strongly on the Sandinista side. So Quetzalcoatl is up in the northeast corner of Nicaragua. It's the little red triangle that I put there. It's about 2 hours from Managua. So basically the goal of the project that we did was, the overall goal was to improve the health of children and families. And we were doing this by decreasing the frequency of diarrhea and acute respiratory infections, specifically in children under the age of 6, and also to increase the frequency of hand washing throughout the community. And the way that we're promoting, trying to do this is through education and the promotion of hygiene practices, particularly hand washing. And we're also, we got a generous donation from Colgate-Palmolive in the form of 999 bars of soap. So we are doing soap distribution and possibly a revolving soap fund. There are basically three phases to the project. It started here in Boston when we were planning it, making up our surveys, and then a few students went down in June and to do the formative phase, in which consisted of interviews with key informants, focus group interviews, and a lot of planning and adjusting the surveys. And then the intervention phase, which is going on still right now, is kind of what I was involved in most. And it consists in a lot of parts. We screened, we enrolled, we administered baseline survey, we designed the charlas, which are educational chats within the community, and we organized the soap distribution and our data collection, and we also trained project assistants down there. And there's also a midpoint evaluation survey, which happened last week. And final evaluation will take place in either late January or early February at the end of the 6-month project, and it will consist in a final survey. So here's the municipality, the entire municipality of Quetzalcoatl. We lived in the Casco Urbano, and I know the words are kind of small, but it's that pink one, kind of the very southern part of Quetzalcoatl. And we did our survey in 4 comarcas. They were La Estación, which is just to the west of Casco Urbano, Paciente Dos, which is just to the northwest, Paso Benito, which is to the southeast, and San Agustin, which is that tiny little one, right on the west. And the key thing about these is that two are controls and two are interventions, and we pair match them by relative poverty and size of how many children we expected to enroll in the program. So La Estación and San Agustin were the two intervention communities. La Estación and Paciente Dos were the two pair-matched control intervention, and they were the larger, slightly or relatively affluent comarcas. And San Agustin and Paso Benito were very small and very rural and very poor. And we went to basically every single house in all the in these four comarcas, and we all the houses that had children that were under 6 years old were eligible to enroll in our study. So if they were eligible, we did a little explanation of the project. We did an informed consent. We administered a baseline survey, gave out the symptom diaries, which I'll explain in a bit, and with the consent of the parents, we took a photograph of the children that they had, so that they could put it with their symptom diary, and it was also a little bit of an incentive. So here are some numbers of what we did. We ended up screening almost 300 houses and enrolling 112 total, and there were 154 kids in all. And we did this over about a week, and each survey took about 20 minutes to do, and there were only four of us down there doing it, so we worked pretty fast. And that's just a picture of one of the volcanoes. Okay, so the surveys covered wealth of information. The first one took about 20 minutes. I know we were cutting out some material for some demographic material for the midpoint and the final survey. But we covered demographics, how many people lived in the family, the average age of the mothers, and we asked to speak to the person who primarily cared for the children, and I think in all cases we spoke to the mother. We also asked a lot of health questions, particularly about the frequency of diarrhea and ARIs in the children that were the children under six, and also about how the mothers or the caretakers treated and prevented these specific diseases. And obviously, in this part of the survey, our data is going to be a little bit questionable because it's subject to a lot of recall bias. We also asked about hygiene habits, the focus being on hand washing, and also things such as access to soap, access to water. And this part of the survey is subject to a little bit of social desirability factor. We knew this was coming, but when we had one question that was, when do you wash your hands? Always, sometimes, or never? Before you use the bathroom, after you use the bathroom, before you feed your child, after you feed your child. So we got a lot of the parents that would just say, oh, always, 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 always with soap, even though they had, you know, said in a previous question that they didn't have soap. So because of that, we decided to do direct observations. And none of us were really excited about doing these direct observations because we knew there was a problem between the anecdotal evidence and what we had in the baseline survey. But we thought it would just be really awkward to go and sit and watch people for a while. So none of us were really excited. However, we collaborated with the health center down there and got some really great advice from the director and her assistant. And they kind of convinced us to go out in pairs instead of individually. And we went saying that we were observing the relationship between the child and how they're developing and how the child interacted with people in the family. And we were able to get some good data just to be able to qualify the fact that our evidence probably wasn't completely accurate. So we did a random selection of 10% of the households, and we observed for 2 to 3 hours. So our key findings from our baseline survey basically were that people didn't understand the difference between prevention and treatment of diarrhea and acute respiratory infections. So 45% of the respondents mentioned oral rehydration solution as a way to prevent diarrhea and also as a way to treat it. And when we were talking about ARIs, 41% gave a treatment when we were asking about prevention. And a lot of people also said ORS to prevent and treat ARIs. And then again, I don't know how accurate this data is, However, there's probably recall bias both ways in that when we asked about the history of diarrhea and ARIs in children, people would say never, even though their child was coughing and sneezing and probably had an ARI. But that, then there were people that said they always had diarrhea. So there's probably some recall bias both ways, but we found based on the survey that 12% of the children had an episode of diarrhea and 56 had a had an ARI in the 2 weeks before our interview. And we're hoping that this data, because we're going back every 2 weeks to collect data, will be a little bit more accurate because the recall will be just in the last 2 weeks. So they'll be able to have more accurate data. And that's the Casco Urbano, that's the urban center. All right, so we also developed Charlas, which are little educational chats. They're monthly, and this is only for the intervention communities. So there's six total, and Nikki, who's back in the audience, designed these, and they're actually really, really great educational tools for adult learners. And we're inviting the entire community to come out to these. They have various themes, such as microbes and disease transmission, prevention and treatment, correct methods of hand washing, and when you should wash your hands. And it just basically is reinforcing the key point that hand washing is important. And there's activities for the kids to do and activities for the adult learners to do. And so we're right now having our project assistants do these charlas, just in the interventions. So we trained two college-age students to be our project assistants. We trained them in ethics because we all had to take the NIH ethical training. So we translated that and trained them. We trained them in our methods and also in data entry, which is really interesting because they don't really use computers that often, so we basically trained them how to enter all the data into Excel. They are going to every enrolled house every 2 weeks to collect our symptom diaries, which are our form of data collection. And what these are is a little calendar. It covers 15 days. It has diagrams for the mother or the caretaker to be able to mark down when her child has diarrhea or has an ARI. And they're distributing soap. So the soap is only for the intervention communities, but every community has a symptom diary, and that's how we're collecting the data. So the midpoint survey happened last week. I don't know the results of it yet. We have a meeting to discuss it on Thursday. And then the final evaluation will be another survey in January or February. So there were a lot of challenges on this project. So basically it was a logistical nightmare. We had a lot of issues. Latin America is different from America in the fact that their time system, they don't have the same value in promptness as we do. So we would say we need to leave at 8 a.m. exactly, and that could mean 9:45 or 10 or something. So we didn't get as much done as efficiently as possible. The staff at the health center was extremely, extremely helpful, very knowledgeable people, but they were just so overextended with many, many projects. So we would try really hard to get them involved and get them excited, and they would be, but they'd also be kind of stressed out at the fact that this was just another project to add on. But we did get a lot of help from them. Something interesting that was going on was that Ortega, the Sandinista, was a recently elected president, and it's kind of a divide in the country. And they were having this electrical kind of crisis. And I know that they had had this a couple years before, but we didn't have electricity from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. So that made it really difficult to use computers and any sort of, like, print out copies of things. And also we had some problems with the one computer, like, cyber cafe in the town. There was a bad virus on the computer, so that infected one of our computers. And the one computer that we got donated from MSH, the battery didn't work, so it only worked if it was plugged in. So we had a really limited time where we could actually get work done, and it was usually at night. And the no electricity problem, in at least in the Casco Urbano where we lived, affected us a lot because that meant we had no water until about 10 o'clock at night. So we only had water from 10 p.m. till like 5 a.m., which, ironically, I think caused me to get really, really sick because I don't think my family was washing their hands before they prepared the food because we didn't have any water for 3 days once. So sickness was a big challenge. But I also, I mean, it was also an opportunity because I got to be a patient and thus got to see what it was like as a patient at the health center. And, of course, language is always a challenge, and although I'm pretty confident in my Spanish, I'd never been to Nicaragua, and my Spanish is mostly very clear Andean Spanish, so Nicaraguan accent's a little bit difficult, and if you're down there only for a little while, you have to get accustomed to it, and it's always a challenge. So this experience taught me a lot. The fact that it was only really four of us that were down there, and three of us were practicum students, and our field supervisor, she was a practicum student last year, so she didn't really actually have any international health experience. So it was kind of the four of us down there on our own, figuring this stuff out. And I feel like I pulled skills from all of the classes I've taken at BU so far, from, you know, design study from EPI, social behavioral sciences. I took a project management class, which came in really handy. I'm learning right now a lot about child health and just about issues in general. So, I mean, just the four of us down there with such a project that, you know, encompasses so many things from study design to project implementation, I learned so much and I pulled from everything. So, the important things that I took out of this were that community involvement was really key to the success of this project. We really had to enlist the help of the people that worked at the health center. We really had to, you know, pitch it to them as if it was their project, that when we left, we wanted them to own it, them to keep working on it. But they're also, you know, really key in the planning and the logistical aspect of it. I don't know what we would have done without them. They helped us get around. They gave us their ambulance to get around. They were really key, in, especially in the direct observations and helping us out and figure out what was culturally appropriate. Because of the logistical issues, I learned a lot about being able to adapt to different circumstances. So we were supposed to get something done by noon, and we didn't even leave until 5 p.m., or if there was a Sandinista holiday and everything was closed. We really had to be able to be flexible with our schedules and adjust and make up for what we missed. And then perhaps the hardest thing for me to learn was to recognize the limitations of what we were doing and to just maximize what we were doing. So, it was hard for me to go to communities and to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this health survey, we're going to decrease diarrhea in your child, and it's going to be great. And they were like, yeah, that's great, but we don't have any food. Can you help us get some food, too? So, you know, as young public health students, it was hard for us to kind of accept that and be okay with what we were doing with hand washing, but I think we really learned a lot. So thank you especially to BU. Actually, the way that I found this practicum was that it found me. I put on a survey at the beginning of a project, or at the beginning of a class, that I spoke Spanish and that I had some international experience. I lived in Ecuador for 6 months, and I worked in Peru for another 2 to 3 months in a clinic. So I put that down, somebody obviously read it, passed along the information, and this practicum found me, and it was perfect. And also to Sarah Johnson and Dr. James Wolf, who are both work at BU and also at MSH, and they were kind of our project advisors and our mentors in all this. And obviously to the team and to Brooklyn Sister City for helping fund this and giving us all the connections.
So we're going to take questions for each student at the end. Now we can clap.